Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Forging the Path. My name is Adam, and this is a podcast that's all about empowering men to become who God created us to be. Today, I got my brother, my friend, Johnny Ferreira on the show. Hey man, welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me back.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You were on the show. Let me think now. Was it a little over a year ago?
I think it was almost a year ago.
And didn't we today. We recorded at the real estate office?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. That was fun.
So Johnny's wife is in real estate. Mm-hmm. I'm in real estate with my wife. And that's kind of how we originally met. But then we found that we've got a common bond. Lots of leadership principles, fitness principles, health. It's really cool stuff. Masculinity. So thanks, man. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Tell me what your current rank is in the Army. And forgive me, it's Army, right?
Yeah, Army National Guard.
National Guard,
yep.
Right.
So active National Guard. So okay. I do belong to the state of Wisconsin. So, but obviously the National Guard is a branch of the military.
Yeah.
So there's a small group of people who are active in the Guard. So active duty in the National Guard. They call it the Army's best kept secret.
Yeah.
Because we get the same retirement, same everything as somebody who's stationed across the world, only we pretty much stay in the state of Wisconsin.
Got it.
Minus, you know, deployments overseas and, you know, state active duty missions, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So last time we talked, I was a master sergeant. Now I was promoted to first sergeant about a year ago. So I'm a first sergeant in the recruiting and retention battalion. So my job is to supervise recruiters in like the greater Milwaukee area. So mm-hmm. I run a recruiting team essentially.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it really
moving
is.
Moving on up.
Yeah, I'm blessed to be in the position I am. I'm a little young for the rank, but it was, it kind of, a lot of things fell into place and it worked out so I could kind of stay in my hometown mm-hmm. and also fulfill that role.
Would normally for this type of promotion, would you have to move?
Normally, yeah. Normally there was a lot of turmoil in the organization when, you know, some leaders were removed. We kind of had to make some adjustments as an organization. And then last mission year was the first year that Wisconsin had made mission in like the last 7 years. And by make mission, I mean we hit our numbers for the year.
And you played a huge role in that. I mean, right? I mean, come on.
I'd like to think so, but it was me and the other people that were also put into the positions. We made a lot of changes organizationally and really just to the culture of the organization. Mm-hmm. And I really think that had a big part of empowering the people who work for us to get the job done.
What were some of those changes in the culture?
Starting really to put people first. There was a culture in the organization where it was very, it's always going to be mission focused in the Army, but mm-hmm. we shifted our philosophy to people plus production. People being first, production being second. Mm-hmm. And again, when I say production, it's we have our annual mission of numbers we have to hit. That's just the recruiting dirty secret, right? So we have to hit our numbers, but putting the people first and then focusing on production, if you put your people first, everything else will fall into place. Mm-hmm. So we really came in with that mentality and all the pieces started falling into place, which led to that monumental victory, I think, for the state of Wisconsin and just the National Guard as a whole.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a lot of good news in just that short few minutes you talked about.
It's been a good year.
Yeah, that's really amazing, good year. Man.
Yeah.
That's really amazing. So a lot of what we're going to focus on in this particular conversation will be leadership lessons from a sergeant.
Okay. Yep. Got it. Yeah.
Sound good? But introduce a little bit more of your backstory because not everybody, and guys, if you can, go back and listen to our first interview in the archives with Adam's Astro Johnny Ferreira on Forging the Path. But if you can't, give them like a 4 or 5 minute overview of who you are, your history with the Army, and you know, then give them a better sense of who you are.
So I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I grew up in kind of a rough area, those who are familiar with Milwaukee. So kind of Lincoln area, 19th and Lincoln, mm-hmm. a lot of poverty, you know, a lot of crime, a lot of drugs, a lot of all that stuff. And I kind of slowly started to get absorbed into that, you know, element. And I kind of used the Army as my way out of that. So it was a lot easier to get in back then. So they were kind of taking everybody in the early 2000s, especially during like the troop surge timeframe.
Right.
So luckily I was able to join the Army National Guard. I went to basic training, started off in the infantry, came back, really started to change my life. I ended up doing two deployments later on before I found like that active guard job that I had talked about earlier. Bounced around a little bit to like operations, logistics. I did some engineering stuff and then eventually kind of found my home in recruiting. There was always like that calling for me to be a recruiter. People had told me over the years, you know, you should really tell your story to the people who you serve so that maybe they can gravitate towards that and be inspired by it. And I just kind of brushed it off. And then eventually one day I was like, you know what? I just want to give it a shot. And I ended up doing really well at it. I became one of the top recruiters in the nation in 2022. I think I placed like 5 out of like 3,600 or something like that across the nation. I ended up leading the top team in the state that year also, and really just finding my niche in recruiting. So, and I kind of tie that back to where I grew up and what I went through. You know, I've lost a lot of people to drugs. I lost my mother, my brother, aunts, uncles, like really just people who kind of got absorbed into that area and just kind of never made it out. So recruiting is my calling. Like I owe it to the people who I grew up with or people like the people I grew up with to find them and offer them the opportunity that I had. And then, you know, becoming a first sergeant, now I get to train recruiters to do that. So it's kind of come full circle. Now I get to offer opportunity to those individuals who need the military, but also offer an opportunity to somebody who's interested in recruiting and then to teach them how to do it and become that person for those individuals who could use it.
Yeah. That's awesome. What are your thoughts on the current state of recruiting?
It's a very, very difficult landscape. And I don't know if we have enough time on the podcast to cover all the reasons why. But a lot of it, just some of the top reasons is they've implemented a new program called Genesis. And without getting too into the weeds, it allows anybody who wants to join, they can go in and pull your medical records, right? That didn't used to be the case. When you were joining, the government only knew what you told them. So that being said, there's so many people who are on, you know, anxiety medications, antidepressants, ADHD, I mean, you name it, and at young ages too. So a very large population is automatically disqualified.
Was that the case when you joined in the early 2000s?
No.
I mean, even though they didn't have this Genesis program, do you think that many of the men and women joining were on?
Definitely not. Because growing up, I mean, even ask yourself, how many people did you know personally of your buddies who were on antidepressants, anxiety meds, or ADHD medication?
I remember hearing about my cousin in the mid-90s being on ADHD, and it was like this new, like, wow, someone I know is on this new. And now it's like, half of the, I remember I left teaching over 10 years ago, but half of my students were on it.
See, exactly.
I taught in Milwaukee, in the inner city.
So,
man, in the, how did we go from mid 90s to the teens and have such a degree of difference?
And if I talk to 10 people, there's a good chance 6 to 7 of them are on some type of medication that disqualifies them from
serving.
And
so the military won't accept
them? You can get a waiver.
What is that? Yeah.
You can get a waiver, but there has to be certain waiting periods that have passed. But if you're currently taking it, that's pretty much an automatic disqualifier.
So it seems on the surface, just a civilian, it seems like the government on the one hand is making it harder for people to join the military, but we have... Correct me if I'm wrong. We do have a shortage, right?
Oh, there's a massive shortage nationwide.
Compared to previous years and previous generations even.
Absolutely. And that's just one of the factors facing the recruiting environment. The other is propensity to serve is at an all-time low. And propensity to serve is, you know, they survey kids in high school and they ask them, you know, is joining the military a possibility for you? Do you have a desire to do that?
Yeah.
And kids are answering no to that question in like record numbers.
Wow.
Now, why is that, right? So we just got off of a 20-year war, right, in Iraq and Afghanistan. So the public appetite for conflict is at an all-time low, understandably, right? Their parents are the ones who are influencing them in the house. And then in addition to that, right, it's the military and the police and the government are kind of seen as like the bad guys in a way, especially when we're talking 2020 timeframe, right? So we're kind of lumped into that in a way. And a lot of people see it as like a plan B or C, like, oh, I'm going to join the army if my plan A doesn't work out.
Yeah.
But in reality, when I go to middle schools, and I do this sometimes to talk to them, I tell them, you need to aspire to be in the military now. It can't be your plan B, which means you have to stay fit, you have to stay healthy, you have mm-hmm. to stay smart enough to pass the test, and you have to be able to meet all these requirements to join. It's not, you're not going to walk into a recruiter's office tomorrow and be in boots in 5 days. For about 50 to 60% of people, that's the case.
Wow.
Yeah, it's more than that. We'll eventually, you know, it's 40 to 50% will get a waiver approved, but almost 70%, if you walk into a recruiter's office, they're going to turn you away or tell you you're currently disqualified in your current state.
Man.
Yeah.
That's really different from when I was in high school.
It's and night
you,
and day.
When did you graduate?
I graduated in 05.
05, yeah. 01. So
night and day.
4 years apart.
They were taking everybody
yeah.
In the troop surge time frame.
Admittedly, I would not
have got in today if I tried.
Really?
Yeah, 100%, because I was on Adderall for like a small stint. Believe it or not, I couldn't sit still. I was probably just a normal young boy, right? But that was only for a few months, but I would have got disqualified for that. And had a couple run-ins that I'm not proud of that a recruiter probably would have turned me away. So it's just, and I've found a lot of success, obviously, in the military.
Mm-hmm.
But that just goes to show that we're turning a lot of people away that with would potential. Otherwise, yeah, with potential. Yeah.
Unseen, untapped,
exactly,
overlooked potential.
Yeah. And I do have to throw this out there. I should have said this in the beginning. All these opinions are my own, okay? I cannot speak on behalf of the U.S. government or the Army. That should have been in the beginning, but I apologize. I am required to say that. These are my opinions. These are First Sergeant Ferrer's opinions, not the opinion of the Army National Guard or the U.S. government.
Yeah. Okay, so what? Tell me a little bit about what you're seeing with these young kids in your recruiting job. Let's talk about mindset and mm-hmm. physical health.
Yeah. Physical health is a tough one. So I usually look up these things pretty often, like quarterly, like where is the health of the youth right now?
Mm-hmm.
And the most recent that I looked up, you know, by the CDC, was that about 39-ish% of kids in that, you know, 16 to 20 age group are obese, right? So that's one thing.
39%?
Yeah, 39%.
Wow.
Yep, that was the last statistic that I saw.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you take into account the mental health crisis that we're experiencing, especially I think a lot of it ties back to COVID and the seclusion and being alone. We see a lot of that come. Hey, I was on antidepressants during COVID and, you know, a lot of ripple effects from that. So the physical health of the youth is something that really concerns me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what it used to be. It's not what we grew up with. Mm-hmm. And it's going to have a lot of ripple effects down the road. So that is something that concerns me. Now, that being said, there are those outliers who have maintained that physical fitness. Usually athletes is really what we kind of look for. Athletes, because they're used to maintaining that. And you said mindset, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mindset, you know, given that propensity to serve is really low, it's so refreshing when you find one of those individuals who's like, I just want to serve just to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. When you hear that, it's like, it's like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that's rarer now compared to
Absolutely.
Previous times?
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, I joined because of 9/11.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was on the cusp of, I almost dropped out of college. Yeah. My parents and grandparents said, don't do it. And stay in school. Yep. But I was close. Yeah. That's interesting.
Luckily, I told my mom and she basically kicked me out of the house. When I told her that. Yeah. So, you know.
A little different. But I do remember the feeling in our country of like, we got to come together.
Yeah.
All the flags being waved, like end of 01 into 02, 03. I mean, just the patriotism at
September 12th, right? You've seen it online. People post like, I wish we could be as united as we were on September 12th.
Right.
I still remember that feeling. I was in seventh grade.
Yeah. Yeah. I do too. Yeah. What a time. And that's, not around as much now, is it?
No, it's not. And I don't want to sound all doom and gloom about the youth and stuff, but it is concerning, right? And especially when, as America, we're looked at as the leaders of the free world.
Right.
And there are a lot of people who are starting to come to the realization that there is kind of like this crisis and we need to change the mindset of the public and how we view military service. I do believe the pendulum is starting to swing back in the other way.
I think so too.
I was very worried, and then now I'm starting to see, oh, like that propensity is going up. There's more interest. We're getting more calls. And so that gives me a lot of hope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I'm seeing just a more positive, I guess maybe it's this, and you can tell me your thoughts on this. I think the people who were silently patriotic all along are just speaking up a little bit more, and that's right. Influencing. I think we're tired of letting the anti-patriotic voice be so loud.
Absolutely.
America's got those and all these other issues. Let's just highlight, like, I'm now hearing voices of like, well, of course America's not perfect, but it's a lot better than the alternatives throughout time and history.
Yeah.
Like, there are things to be proud of, and we shouldn't be so ashamed we are a great country.
The best, in my opinion. And obviously I'm a little biased, right?
I would readily agree with that. But those voices are starting to say, like, enough of this. Like, be proud of it. This is an awesome privilege that you're born here in America. Like, the freedoms that we have, the things that we've stood for.
Yeah.
And hopefully that changes some of what's going on in the recruiting world too.
I hope so.
In the years to come.
And so, you know, you had mentioned that you had that desire to serve. So, like, how do you talk about the military in your household? Like, when it comes up with your girls.
Honorably. And that part of this is what's informed that. I have both of my grandfathers have served. Army, one in World War II. Two of my uncles have served Army. One served Air Force, and then my father-in-law, Claire's dad, and you know this, 30 years retired command sergeant.
Sergeant Major. I was going to say.
So, and I hope to get him on the pod. Kevin is usually listening, so hey, CSM Dubois, I'd love to have you on.
Thank you for your service, Command Sergeant Major.
Yeah, he's an amazing man, and. And so all of that has informed my view of not just the military, but our country in general. And I realized that I wouldn't have the freedoms I enjoy, the rights that I have, and the privileges I have if it weren't for men like that and women.
And thank you for talking that way in your own house, right? Yeah. And that's what we need more of.
Yeah.
A lot of times we find that people want to serve because they had a family member or a father or uncle and stuff like that. And it's not for everybody, right? It's definitely not for everybody. So we're not asking everybody to put boots on. But you can serve your country in other ways that's not in uniform, by being proud of your country, being proud of being an American. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to be proud to be an American citizen. To me, it's a badge of honor.
Yep.
And I personally believe, because I've been to some very crappy places in the world, that anybody who was born here hit the life lottery.
Yeah.
You really have hit the life lottery by being born here. And if you don't think that, I highly encourage you to travel to some of those places that are not as good and do not have the freedoms we do. And that will give you some perspective very, very quickly. I promise you.
Right. I totally agree. So, let's talk a little bit about this, leadership, and you're working with future leaders.
Yeah.
You're recruiting future leaders. And you've seen firsthand what can happen with someone who gives themselves to a life of service and their leadership capacities, how that just increases and enlivens all of that. What does it take to be a good leader?
Yeah. So that is a really, really hard question. And honing my leadership skills is what I've devoted more time, I think, than anything in my career, physical fitness, management, discipline, whatever. Leadership is by far the thing that I've devoted the most time and energy into. And it was what my degree path was in. It's what's brought me to where I am today and helped me get the accolades that I've had. And so when we talk about leadership, the definition of Army leadership is the act of influencing others in order to implement change and improve the organization by providing purpose, direction, and motivation. So that's the Army definition. Wow. And I think the Army has some of the best leaders in the world. And I know I'm kind of biased because I'm in the Army, but I would agree. I've met a lot of people outside different corporations. I've talked to a lot of guys who have gotten out into the corporate world, and I hear the same thing repeatedly and repeatedly, like, you know what? I have not experienced the type of leadership that I had since I was in the Army. And I think it's because our leadership is constantly tested, either in combat zones or in emergency situations or in just a normal administrative homeland mission like recruiting. So I lost track of your question. Sorry.
No, I mean, what does it take? We're just talking, what does it take to be a good leader? And I loved your definition of leadership in the Army. Can you say that one more time?
Yeah. So I'll try not to butcher it since I nailed it the first time. But it's the act of influencing others in order to improve the organization by providing purpose, direction, and motivation.
Okay.
And I've always tried to focus on influence. Influence as opposed to manipulation. Right?
What's the difference?
So as a leader, you have to be able to influence those to do what you think is in their best interest, not what's in your best interest. Whereas, you know, coercion and manipulation is exactly that. You're coercing somebody into doing what you want them to do for your personal gain.
Yeah.
And you see that a lot in leaders. You see a leader who is trying to manipulate people so that they can look good and they can be on the pedestal and they can really take all the shine. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what's good for the people they serve or the people that depend on them. Influence is different, right? Yeah. Influence is that positive leadership that you can give them so they can do what you think is best for them, which in our case is making their mission and being the best leader they can.
Yeah. That's really good. I like that a lot. Do you think that the change in leadership in our country that's about to take place based on the previous election will make recruiting better by and large?
It should. It 100% should. Yeah. And we've already gotten calls. So, you know, we send out text messages and calls and stuff. You know, we've talked about the parallels between real estate and recruiting. A lot of it's the same. A lot of prospecting, it's very sales oriented. So we get some interesting replies back. And, you know, to those people who were like, there's no way I'm serving under Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. We save those, right? And then now when the new administration changes over, we send them some follow-ups and we say, hey, you ready to put your money where your mouth is? And we actually have gotten a couple of people who's like, I said I wouldn't serve under them and I meant it. And now I'm ready to serve.
Yeah.
So we've seen specific examples of that happening.
Yeah. Hey guys, I want to take a minute and give a huge shout out. Thank you to all of our Patreon supporters out there. Without you guys, this show's not even possible. And it allows us to do some cool swag stuff like this mug right here. We're coming up with hats, t-shirts, things like that. But more importantly, we're going to be releasing some exclusive content that's only for our Patreon supporters. You're not going to want to miss that. So if this show has been any encouragement to you whatsoever, you guys got to get on patreon.com/forgingthepath. As little as 10 bucks a month. Every dollar helps. Go there today and check it out. If you or anyone you know is thinking about buying a home, or refinancing the home that you're already in, you gotta reach out to Michael Creed and his team today. I've been in real estate for over 10 years now, and I can tell you there's no one better when it comes to the lending side of things than Michael Creed and his team. They take time to get to know every client. They treat every transaction like it's the biggest one of their lives. They give them all the options, educate them every step of the way, and they guide everyone to a really successful closing. We love working with Michael Creed and his team. So once again, if you're thinking about buying a house or refinancing, you need a great lender, talk to Michael Creed and his team today. You can text them at 262-696-9048. Tell them that Adam from Forging the Path sent you. They'll take great care of you. We all know that real estate is the single best investment. It outperforms almost every other option in the long term. And my wife and I, we've been in real estate for over a decade, and we love helping people sell and buy homes. When it comes to the selling side of the equation, our goal is to help you sell your home for the most amount of money with the least amount of stress. And when it comes to buying, we want to help you find that dream home that has everything you need it to have without overpaying. And our goal is to make the whole process, whether selling or buying, really smooth and a great experience for everyone. So if you or someone you know are thinking about buying or selling a home in the near future, reach out to Zastrow Family Real Estate. You can look us up online, or you can call or text me directly, 262-725-2855. And by the way, we're powered by a great company, Realty Executives Integrity. If you're thinking about getting in real estate, or maybe you're already in real estate and you want to take your business to the next level, let me know, because Realty Executives is the best of the best. Now, I've also heard rumors that Trump is going to, he's going to do something so that those who were discharged for the vaccine can you tell us about that? Like, what you know so far?
So I know about that as much as you do right okay. now, because right, it's been a statement.
Yeah,
I believe he'll follow up on that statement.
What was his statement?
I believe he said he was going to overturn all their discharges and give them back pay for when they were discharged.
That would be such a good thing.
It would, and I think that's a monumental task. Knowing what I know about military processes and how that would all work out, and
yeah,
there's so many things: their date of rank, their assignments, where they were when they left is filled. Like, there's all these things that I'm thinking in my head, is this even possible? You know, can you overturn that many discharges? But I'm working with a young man right now who was discharged for refusing the COVID vaccine. And we have RE3, RE codes, right? It's called reenlistment eligibility code. You either get a 1 through 4. 4 is like, you got to kill somebody, right? 1 is you served honorably.
Okay.
This young man, he was a private. All he did was say, hey, I'm just not comfortable taking that. They gave him an RE3, a major misconduct discharge.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and kudos to him, because he's
only for refusing the vaccine.
That's it. Respectfully refusing the vaccine. He's about 2 years into his military career, and they discharge him.
Based on religious principles or something of that nature.
Yep. Religious exemption. He was discharged, and I really commend him, because he's back in our office. And like I said to him, you're probably not happy with the way that chapter closed. Imagine aspiring to serve in the military your whole life.
Yeah.
Wanting to do all these things, and as a private, you get kicked out. And now he's coming back in, thankfully. And hopefully he can rewrite that chapter of his life and make peace with how that ended. So I don't know much about how that's going to play out, but I'm hopeful that there's a lot of people out there that can rewrite that chapter.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
That's my hope too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I think that was egregious. That's not, all those discharges for not wanting to take the jab. So that would be great. So as of right now, the date of this recording, that was just a statement that Trump said.
I have not seen anything, doctrinally that would lead me to believe that anything like that is in motion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that can somehow follow through and come to pass. That would be awesome.
You and me both, brother. You and me both.
And would be good for the numbers as well, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any ideas to the, was it quite a few people?
It was a lot. I want to say this total guess based off of kind of memory, I want to say it was in the tens of thousands. Yeah, that's what I want to say.
That's a real kick. We've got a few million service members. Military strength. Yeah, come on.
It really is. A lot of good leaders too. I know some who held the line too, all the way
personally
to the bitter end.
Yeah.
And a couple of them made it through and didn't have to. Yeah.
Wow. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. What, are you excited about anything going into 2025, changes in leadership, you know, across the board? Is there anything else that kind of gets you excited? Like, okay, I think, you know, there could be some potential in this area or that area.
I'm honestly excited for an entirely new administration.
Okay.
For
what reasons?
So as a military member, you know, I can't disparage the commander in chief, right? So I'm not disparaging the current administration by any means, but I think the incoming administration aligns more with taking the military where it needs to be, right? Mm-hmm. Making us that ready, lethal fighting force.
Right.
Right. That's what we're here for, everybody, you know?
Yeah.
We're here to make sure that America's interests are protected, and we're here to protect the homeland.
Yeah.
And I think the priorities are going to be more in line with that.
Well, I can probably say some things that you can't. And, I would say that the radical woke left has done a severe disservice to the strength of our nation, the strength of our military, our pride and patriotism, and keeping the highest priority being we want the most lethal fighting force on the planet so that we can protect our own, and thereby like more world peace. That when America is strong and when we are lethal and we are focused on being that type of fighting force you were talking about, the whole world benefits.
Absolutely.
And yes, of course, America first, like we benefit too, but it's such a common sense thing to a guy like me that I'm surprised when I see leaders, high ranking leaders, talk about, well, we need to be more sensitive to transgender. What are you talking about? We are a lethal fighting force. That is not even on the radar, or it shouldn't be. Why are you making that a talking point or a priority? All you're doing is taking us off of our laser-focused mission and making us weaker as an entire nation.
Right.
So you probably can't say it all quite like that on camera, but that's what I would say. And I'm excited for the possibilities of the change of leadership as long as they follow through on some of their promises.
I am too. And right. And that's where we're at right now. Promises. Yeah. I want to see these promises come to fruition.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you had mentioned, you know, that it has to be lethal. Just like I said, well, people are probably like, why do we need a lethal military? If we're all supposed to, you know, be human beings and in a perfect world, I agree. But that kind of reminds me of that Jordan Peterson quote, right? He says that you should be a monster as a man. You should be very capable of violence, but you should also be able to control it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's kind of how I view the military should be. And that's kind of how I model myself, right? So like, you know, I do jujitsu and MMA and that kind of stuff. It doesn't mean because I want to go beat people up. It doesn't mean our military should be lethal so we can go kill people for just because we can. We should be capable of violence and lethality and then be able to control it.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's what's going to keep somebody from kicking in my door and hurting my family.
Right.
Or hurting me and my wife and my girls while I'm walking down the street.
Yeah.
Because I'm capable of that.
Yeah.
Not because I'm plan on using it.
Mm, yeah. Right on, brother. Yeah. A great soldier. I don't remember who said it, but it's a famous quote. A great soldier is motivated not by the hatred for the enemy in front of him, but by his love for the people behind him.
That's a really good one. I don't know if I've ever heard that actually.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to have to look that up now.
Yeah. Look it up. I don't know who said it. I've read it in books, seen it in movies, but yeah, you know, that's the, one of the hallmarks of a great soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can be a lethal filled with intensity and ferocity, but you're truly motivated like by the love and protection for the people in the country behind you.
Yeah. And when we talk about like the whole woke culture and stuff and the whole DEI and all that kind of things, like diversity is a good thing. Like as a leader, I want a diverse force. Like I'm pretty sure I have the most diverse recruiting team in the state, right? Half of them are female. Half of them are minority. A lot of them are from Milwaukee. You know, I have Hispanic, African-American, you know, Caucasian, like everybody I have on my team.
That's awesome.
And that's a good thing, right? Because we're a diverse group that knows how to communicate with the people we're serving in our community.
It makes
me a better leader being able to learn how to work with, you know, women and people of different backgrounds. So, but again, if you take a good thing and you start to add and push it to a whole different level when we're talking about things that you had just mentioned, then we've turned diversity and equity into something that becomes detrimental to the force, not something that's going to benefit us. And like, where is that line, right? It's not a hard line in the sand. So, and I think we've gone way too far, way too far the other way, where we're worried about more diversity and equity than we are of the capability of the force.
Yeah. What would someone like you and your brothers and sisters in the military want more of from people like me, civilians who love and appreciate and respect you and what you do, but we're not in your shoes.
Yeah.
Like, what does it look like for just a regular guy like me to help you guys?
You know, you're probably a special case, Adam, because I know how patriotic you are and how you speak of the military in your country. And that's literally the number one thing we could ask of anybody who's not currently serving. You know, when you're at the dinner table and somebody's talking about service as if it's like this ugly choice, it's just not the case. Like, and we need more people to view service as an honorable profession and not that plan B or C. And there's also this misconceptions like you don't make any money in the military. Like, our pay is public. You can go on and see what I make. You can check the Milwaukee housing allowance, like all that stuff. On average, you know, we make pretty good money. You know, like, you're not going to be a millionaire, right, serving. Most of us don't do it for that anyway. But there's this ugly perception that service is a bad thing. It's not what your primary, you know, choice should be. So just talking about the military profession and this country in a positive light is the best thing people can do. Mm-hmm. That's all we're asking.
Yeah.
And I always feel awkward when I walk around and people thank me for my service, because it's like, you know, they pay me really good to do this, or they're like, or they buy me lunch and I feel really terrible because I'm in uniform and I'm like, gosh, they pay me well to do what I do. You don't have to do that. But the support is, I can't tell you how much the support in general is appreciated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are there any inspirational figures from history that you look up to as an example, as a man in the army?
So as far as history goes, I've never looked at, definitely not celebrities or anything like that. You know, obviously, Jesus is always going to be that number one inspiration for leadership and servant leadership and sacrificing everything, right, to lead and inspire people. But the people who inspire me now are leaders that I've worked with. Like, my wife's grandpa is one of them. I would say he is somebody I'm inspired by. You know, he was a Christian man who served in World War II and defended his boat from, you know, the Japanese attacking it, didn't abandon his post and held out to the bitter end, got a Bronze Star for valor. I look to people like that for inspiration. You know, not history, there are some, but mostly the people that really inspire me are people that I've interacted with. I'm honestly, and I'm not just saying this because I'm here, I'm inspired by people like you who are willing to speak up and hold the line and not compromise on your values no matter what, and do something like this. Right, there's nobody, people don't do this. You can't say those kind of things that you're saying, right? You're going to get canceled when you leave here.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I've been canceled a few times.
It's okay. But you're not afraid to do it, right? Yeah. And you're in the sales business.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You're not supposed to do that in the
sales business. For sure.
Because it could lose you sales, which your family depends on.
Yeah.
So that's inspiring to me. That's the kind of actions and people that inspire me. And I've got some amazing leaders that I've had the privilege of working with, that men that I look at and I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever be able to walk a mile in your shoes, but I'll try and live up to that standard.
Dang, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Let me ask you one other question to close it out here today. So a little background, my daughter, my youngest daughter, Charlotte, call her Charlie, for a long time has wanted, you know, liked the idea. You know how kids are,
yeah.
They can change their mind every 5 minutes, but she's liked the idea of serving in the Army.
Yeah.
And then when I saw what went down with COVID and the leadership a couple years ago, I was like, hey kiddo, like, this is cool. Like, but, if things don't change, just keep an eye on that, because they're going to start to require you to now jump through some of these hoops. And she's like, well, that's stupid. 12-year-old.
Like, and she's right.
Well, that's stupid. I'm like,
yeah,
it is. But also, I don't want that to be the reason you don't do something that could potentially be very noble and honorable. And absolutely, if your heart's in it, yeah. I don't want to tell you like this is. So now she's like, well, this change of leadership is cool. And maybe it's kind of back on as a possibility again. Yeah. Now she's almost 13. It's like, who knows? I don't want to tell her what to do or predict her future. But I say all that to say, what advice would you give to my daughter and people like her, young men and young women, middle school and high school, who are thinking, maybe the army, maybe whatever branch of military, like I want to serve my country, but they're several years away from being able to join yet. Advice you give to those people?
Go get the information. Don't just listen to a random story that's been shared through two people about somebody's worst moment in their military career, which you hear a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we call it, if somebody listens to that and they decide not to join, we call it, oh, they ran into Uncle Stupid and they told them some story that's irrelevant from 1990, whatever, right? So go get the information yourself. Sit down with the different branches. Sit in front of them and get the real information. We see so many people who write off service before they even know what it all entails, right? So get the information. Obviously, I recommend you sit down with a National Guard recruiter, right? Me in particular, if you're interested.
Go talk to Johnny Ferreira.
Yeah, so, but get the information and get your mind ready because it's you're going to be very challenged. Get your mind ready to be pushed further than you've probably ever been pushed before. Unless you've done an extremely rigorous sport, like let's say wrestling, you know, that's one of the ones that comes to the top of my head. You probably have not been pushed as hard as you're going to get pushed in the military. So just make peace with that and get your mind into a space where that is good and comfortable for you. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be uncomfortable, but you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Embrace the suck.
Yep, absolutely. And it's such a old saying, but it's true.
Yeah.
I never knew what I was capable of until I joined the military. I never had somebody telling me, you know, when I was younger, like, you can do this and this and this. I found my limits in the military as I just kind of pushed it further and further and further.
Yeah.
So you don't know what you're made of till you throw yourself in the fire.
Parting words of wisdom, man. Yeah, I love that. If anybody has questions, how can they connect with you?
Yeah, you can look me up on Facebook, Instagram, Johnny Ferreira, JohnnyFerreira. My Facebook is public. You can look up a National Guard recruiter in your area. Chances are I know him. My number is even public if you Google it too. So yeah, give me a call. I don't care if it's parent, grandparent, hey, so-and-so is interested. You're going to get honest feedback from me. I can promise you that.
I love that, man. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for being on the show. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, brother.
It's fun.